When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, can you sing my son a lullaby?
You got it, Doug. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bell breaks, don't worry at all, because Geico did all the home insurance shopping for your dad and your mum and found the right coverage for y'all.
Nice work, G. Not like a light.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Sen Schrader Hill, founder of Elk Valley Paranormal down in southern Middle Tennessee. I'm a self-published author, so please, please go check my books out. There's 3 nonfiction. The first one is Whispers in the Dark, True Ghost Stories, and Eerie Tales. The second is They're Speaking, Are You Listening? My most compelling EVPs. The third is It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. And then there's one fiction, Web of Terror, a short story collection right along with my friend Mark Elliott Foltz. They're all available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle versions. So please go purchase them. Right now, I'm listening to Ghost in the Valley podcast. Come join me.
Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'm very excited tonight to have Rory Ann Rudolph on the show. This is a replay from 2022. The event happened 31 years ago that UFOs were over my county, Trumbull County, Ohio. And Rory Ann was on duty that night. She was a dispatcher for the 911 call center in Liberty. When all these calls came in from all over the area, different counties, different police departments, and multiple people seeing this UFO in their area. If you listen to last week's show, UFOs over Trumbull County, Rory Ann was the dispatcher on those tapes. I was so excited to have her on the show. It took me years to get her on. And when you do a lot of research, and like I have on this subject, and the people I've talked to, and the different stories you get, some vary a little, some vary a lot. And I wanted to get her perspective on it because she was there that night. She was right there in the middle of it all. We're going to get right into this interview with Rory Ann Rudolph and what she's seen in 1994 in Liberty, Ohio.
Well, today I have Rory Ann Rudolph Malik. She just got married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And she was a dispatcher in my county, Trumbull County, Ohio, in Liberty Township on this night that we're going to talk about on December 14th, 1994, when their UFOs are spotted over the county, mainly over Liberty, and chased into Pennsylvania. So we're going to dig into her mind and her thoughts and and everything that went down that night. Welcome to the show, Rory Ann.
Well, thank you, Al.
As I said before the show started recording, I said, you're known as a UFO dispatcher, you know, but you're so much more than that. I have to say, you know, thank you for your service you do there. There's more than just that UFO night. everything else is kind of like taken for granted, you know, and I want to thank you for all your the service you've done.
Well, thank you.
And also want to apologize, too. I did a show a couple years ago, and I was along with everybody else kind of thinking maybe you didn't take that serious that night on the UFOs over, that you know, all the calls you were getting coming in. And I'm just as guilty, you know. I'm looking back on that night on December 14th. I can remember this like yesterday. That's why I remember this night so well. And plus, I had friends that worked for the different departments.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine came in to work that night. You probably don't know these side stories, you know. And he was like, white as a ghost, and talking about how he's seen this UFO over 193 in Liberty, going out of Liberty. And there was a truck in front of him coming to a stop. And he was trying to go around this truck. And this UFO was almost like 30 feet above the ground in front of the truck. So he was telling all of us at work this, you know. And we're like, okay, Bob, what were you drinking tonight? You know, before you came to
yeah.
work. So I'm just as guilty, you know. But, you know, I'm thinking back then, you know, and what he was saying, that they got out of their truck. The truck driver got out. He got out of his car because the thing was just like sitting there. And they never called it in because he didn't want to be labeled crazy or like a kook or anything.
Right,
you know. So he was telling us about it. And he said, but the thing didn't have any sound. Like, I know some of the 911 calls that I listened that you did that night, there was smoke or flames coming out the back. And he said he didn't see any of that. All he's seen was an object that didn't make any sound and was going very, very slow at a low altitude. And then it just like zipped out. It's got like 1,000 miles an hour, you know, gone. And so you don't know about those instances. I'm sure there's a lot more that didn't call in. So let's go back to 1994, the best you can remember. On these calls that came in, the first call that came in, what was you thinking?
I, like you did, I'm like, okay, somebody, you know, somebody, we're by an air base. So you think, okay, you know, we have a military installation nearby. You think something like that. And someone's excited. They saw lights and they're uncomfortable. You get it. But you also say, okay, just automatically you're like, don't jump off thinking there's UFO. You live by, you know, an airport, an air base. These things are, you know, or air installation units are at the Youngstown Air Base. And you want something that's manageable. You want something you can explain. You if it is something bigger, we don't have anything that can handle it. I mean, there's nothing I can do for you. It did sound like I was being callous, and a lot of people said, oh, it sounded like you were mocking people who were really terrorized by what they saw, or really terrified by what they saw, or overwhelmed by what they saw. And while I understand that, when you're a 911 dispatcher, when you're a police officer, when you're any of these things, everything you deal with are people who are overwhelmed. So you have to like bring it down a little bit, you know, okay, you know, we'll deal with this. That's just kind of how you respond, because if you go and meet them at that same level of excitement, then you really don't seem to manage things quite as well. So yeah, the first couple callers kind of, okay, you saw some lights in the sky, you know, you live by an airbase. So then it went on, and then eventually we got a call from the news channel. And I believe the dispatcher, the, TV personality back then, I knew her name, Stacia Ertis, I think, was working at the time, and called in. And I had made some smarmy little comment, laughing about it, going, oh, con, UFOs aren't going to come to Liberty. And she, you know, we kind of joked about it. And then I thought, okay, now we're up to 4-5 calls now. We have to do something with this. I'm like, I'm not going to be the one who sat on this. You know, they teach you, you don't sit on calls. It's not for you to sit on them. But, you know, you do also have people who will call in and say some really obscure things, you know, that you are like, okay, that's just not even possible. So I passed it on. I didn't think too much about it. And then we had, you know, Toby, who I thought of all the guys who were working that night, Toby was the one who could roll with it the best.
Uh-huh.
I just knew him. His personality is so, he's approachable. You can engage with Toby and not worry about a backlash. If he doesn't like the call you give him, he doesn't take it personal. Not that other officers do, but when you work with road units, you know who's more tolerant, who's going to handle people who are maybe a little more fragile than other people, mm-hmm. or calls like that. So you kind of know
that. You got a good repertoire with Toby.
Yeah. Toby and I have been friends forever. So And it wasn't to say the other guys couldn't have handled it. It was just Toby has that kind of personality that he can roll with it and deal with people without offending them if it's not the answer they want. So that's why I selected Toby above everybody else to tell this to. And I told him over the phone because I knew if this goes out over the air, this is just going to, phone's going to light up like a Christmas tree with people jumping on board. So he called in and passed it along and thought that everything was going to, you know, he was going to go see some lights and go, okay, they're aircraft carrier, blah, blah, blah. I'd already, I believe, I don't know, some point had contacted the airbase. And I spoke with somebody who answered the phone and just very much like the conversation we're having now, it was very, the conversation was very genuine. There was nothing put on. It wasn't like I felt somebody was brushing me off or I was getting some kind of scripted response by anybody. This gentleman I spoke with was very receptive. We spoke and he said, no, I'm looking out. I don't see anything in the airspace above anywhere. So kind of let it go. And I passed along, no, they said there's nothing out there within so many feet and reported that back to them, to Toby. And the next thing I knew, Toby had gone out with some people. He located a man and his dog who were telling him about the lights in the sky. And then I lost contact with Toby. If you follow the story, you might mm-hmm. have been familiar with the fact that he claims that his radio, his portable radio, along with his mobile radio that's installed in the car, both failed for a while. And he said he never heard any kind of transmission from me. And then we lost communication for a number of minutes with him. And then I started sending everyone else to look for him. And then he came back on a few minutes later and he stated that he was quite startled and he was taken back by this light that he saw. And it was, he was overwhelmed. And so he said, I need to, few minutes for myself to get myself together and then I will talk. So then he called me. He contacted my cell phone. No, I don't believe called my cell. He was in my landline or the landline in the dispatch because it was a recorded call. And he's like, no, there were lights there. And then it was just, he was overwhelmed. He said, yeah, this shut everything, my radio down. I'm like, oh, you get out of here. No, I swear to you, Ryan, you know, these lights were amazing.
Right, yeah. I got the same story from a friend of mine. It was with the Brookfield Police Department, and also Sharon.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm thinking, and they were the same way that they lost total radio communication,
right?
And their cruisers shut down,
right?
And then the one from Brookfield, I didn't, you know, because like you were saying, I think one of your other interviews I listened to that they were. A bunch of, you know, some of the guys are some characters, you know, you work with on the police, you know, they can play some jokes and then joke around with you, you know, because it can get kind of boring, you know, on certain nights. You know, I had to work security guard for like 5 years.
Right.
And I know how boring that could be, you know, and can say I have never seen a UFO, but I do know like my friend I work with, you know, and how he was not a UFO believer. And that night he says, I'm not saying it was from Mars or anywhere. I'm just saying that it's something I have never seen before.
Right.
And then when I was listening to your, I had the copy of the 911 tapes. And I think what really took off was when Art Bell put it on a Coast to Coast. Because it was kind of, you know, do you think it was like, you know, swept under the rug for like 5 years until
we never, Ali, seriously. We left that night and we thought, oh my God, this is going to rock and everybody's going to be blown away. Nobody said one word about it for like 20 years, not a syllable. Nobody said boo about it. We thought, wow, you know, and it was remarkable that night because all the units in the county, it wasn't exclusively like Brookfield. I was a police officer in Brookfield too. But I know, you know, the guys that were working that night and, you know, that had all been involved. I knew the Howland guys that were all watching it.
Right, there's quite a few people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The county guys, there were Cortland officers at the time, several of the deputies. I mean, and this is from the entire county. And if you know this place, the setup of Trumbull County, it's set up in 5x5 mile parcels. So you're not typically going to see a lot of the same stuff. I mean, we can't all say we're looking at the same thing, but the lighting descriptions were different. The patterns were different. the descriptions, but these are all guys and women that I had worked with and respected. They were not crackpots. They're not crazies. They're not, you know, not that everybody else is. Please forgive me. I'm not alluding that anybody who sees these things are, but these are people that you work with that you, when they tell you something, you think their credibility is used so often, to reference so much of what they do, and working alongside them, you know, when you know who you can take word for word and who likes to stretch the truth or something like that. These were not people who joked around in the capacity when they went to tell you something, you know, they used their credibility for it.
I was going to say, it's like not somebody calling and say, you know, he's drinking moonshine out back, you know, with his, you know, these are police officers, you know.
Well, they were working. Yeah, great. They were working. Mm-hmm. So it was, it had a level of seriousness to it, and it became not more authentic, but it had the tonation of the intonation of listening to, they were riveting. You're listening to people who go on calls all the time, be it, you know, the barking dog call or the, you know, hostage situation. I mean, it ranges from anything. Even though Trumbull County is not, you know, Cabrini Green, you still have some serious things to go on. So you work with these people and you listen to, you know, they're a little bit.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Taken off by what they're watching. You know, it wasn't being frivolously discussed. They were really watching it and they were sincerely intrigued by what they were seeing, and they see a lot of stuff.
I think one part of that, I listened to those tapes. Did you actually go out to see it?
Yeah, I did. We had a supervisor who was very cool, and I said, "Look, I haven't taken a break. I deserve a break after all this." And so I called up one of the Howland guys, and I said, "Hey, how about you pick me up? I want to go see this too." And funny enough, we went to, if you're familiar with the area, the Double Bridge is down in Brookfield. And mm-hmm. we got out of the car, and he had binoculars, and we're standing there looking at it. It was low to the ground. No sound. I mean, I didn't have glasses on that night. I wasn't driving, and I left my glasses at the center. But what we saw, what was above us, made no sound. And then, like your friend had described, it zipped mm-hmm. off. Like, there's no craft that I know of that would do that. But then again, the government doesn't go, "Hey, Marianne, we just put the X254 out. You know, see how fast it is." So, I mean, I'm not, you know, not trying to infer that, you know, there's nothing. I saw something too. And what I saw is exactly what your friend said. It sat there quiet, and you're listening, no helicopter noise, no, the flickering wasn't of a, you know, something that was trying to hold steady in the air. It was the motion was of the lights. That was just the rotation of a light, and the pattern that it was going was nothing like something that was just trying to stay suspended, but struggling with air or wind or something. That wasn't what I got from it anyway.
And that's exactly what Bob said, you know, my friend, you know, is that, you know, what amazed him was there was no sound.
No sound.
Because you would think there would be something in the size of a craft, that there'd be some type of sound. And I, you know, like you, you know, life went on without even thinking about it.
Right.
Same with work, you know. I mean, we never talked about it for another, what, 4 or 5 years until the Arbell thing came out. I'm you know, it's like, oh, this is a thing that Bob was talking about, you know. And then I says, well, maybe he had something there, you know. And when I went back to talk to him about it, no, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Okay, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, you take a lot of ribbing when this stuff comes on. Every time I've participated in anything and just shared, I'm not saying I got in a craft and I ran away and, you know, I got something in plan. I'm not taking it to that, you know, to any kind of level where I'm saying I was part of anything more than, you know, listening to what I heard on the calls and what Toby relayed his experiences were and what I saw with my own eyes.
Was it Toby that took you out to the craft?
No,
it was another officer.
Yeah, that was another department, a Howland unit. We're our 911 center's on Howland.
Yeah, no, he was sitting there looking at it. And he says, "Can you come pick me up?"
Yeah,
and I knew that part, but I didn't know if you actually.
Yeah, he had a cruiser, and I was in Howland, and I said, "Hey, I want to see it too. Can you come get me?" And he goes, "Yeah, just run outside," and I jumped in, and we shot about 5 miles, 10 miles down the road, and we were in Brookfield and just jumped out for a second, saw it, and then it took off. And the funny part is their Brookfield officer that was working that night, he was at our county homes, the old base that's there. There was a structure that you could actually climb up on, and he was trying to look at it with binoculars from that. The same time, if you correlate the times, when it shot off, he saw what we were seeing, and it would have been in his direction. So that's it kind of all matches up. I mean, yeah.
Do you think there was more than one craft, or was it just one?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it was all over the place.
I saw one, but I honestly, the Cortland guys were saying they were seeing, you know, X, this color and that color, and the county guys were Mecca and they were Mespo, and they're seeing this color and this color, and we're too far apart to be seeing the same thing, I would think. But could it be from where you're at? Could there be refraction of lights back? The thing about it was, it was a cool night. It wasn't really, really too cold, but in the wintertime, there's always that kind of hush. Like, it's not as loud. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but.
Well, it does, yeah.
It just seems like it was more of like the crispness that you could hear. There was an absence of noise, if that makes sense. It's just, you recognize it's like, this is so, it's such a clear sounding night. You weren't hearing it, and you expected that you would have heard like that whipping, turning sound of like the blades of copters or just anything. And it was just quiet, just really quiet.
Yeah, I was just thinking back on that time, and it jived with what, you know, the Brookfield was saying, and also with the other departments.
Right.
So my question is, was anybody told to say it was a weather balloon in the reports?
Nobody was told to, but I had said to the person I called at the airbase, I'm like, tell me it's a weather balloon. Tell me it's, you know, I wanted to hear that he had some explanation. I mean, could it be a private craft? Could it be, you know, are you like a drone? At the time, we didn't really have too many drones. I don't think we even knew about drones so much back then. But I mean, could it be something that they were using the airbase? Could it be a weather balloon? Could it be a private craft? Could it be some kind of antenna? You know, and he's saying, I see nothing.
Well, even with a drone that size, you would have some type of noise off that drone at that low altitude. I'm thinking you would, you know, on a clear night like that. But, you know, it just kind of, what always astounded me after the fact was, you know, like you said, you had the, I think it was 33 News was calling in on it, and all the police officers and all the witnesses, and yet there was nothing put in the papers.
Nothing. And since that date, I worked for years. I was 30 years. I was out of Brookfield as an officer, and I would meet with people. People would come up to me and approach me, or people who knew about the incident. And so many people remember that night and will come up and go, I remember that night, and I was so-and-so, and I saw everything, and you know, it, and how they were just really struck by it. And it was made a huge impression on these people. And I thought, wow, you know, because the phones rang off the hook for that period of time, but nobody ever said boo again about it for decades. I'm not even exaggerating, decades. Nobody said a word.
Right. You know, and I think, I don't know if you had any calls the day before that, like December 13th, I was getting a lot of people contacting me after the fact. That it was very active on December 13th also. Actually, it was 13th, 14th, and 15th. So I don't know if you knew anything about that.
No. I mean, I can't tell you what my work schedule was at the time, but I think I was full-time there at the time. And like I said, you get a call every now and then about something odd. And you kind of go, oh, okay. And there are people who are like, hey, people change the slats on my bed while I'm sleeping every night. I'm not mocking anybody who has these issues in their home with family members. We deal with that. That's truly what your reality is when you're small town police, mm-hmm. small town dispatch. You get, you know, older ladies who are lonely and they're like, well, I think
right. I live in Newton Falls, so I know how what the,
yes.
the little town mentality is, you know.
Right. But. And they're wonderful people who are kind of mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm kind of convinced that somebody's coming in my shed and changing all the nails, you know, in my shed. And, you know, you're like, I don't think they are. You kind of go, okay, well, we'll keep watching. And, you know, try to not be disrespectful. But when these kind of things happen, occasionally you'll hear something. You know, I saw something. Oh, okay, I'll pass it along. Or do you want somebody to call you? And you deal with it appropriately. This one went big scale, but I don't recall hearing it. And we even came back the next night and kind of thought, well, what's today gonna bring, you know? But I don't. And after that, it just kind of dropped off, like dropped off a cliff quiet as far as this.
And I've been doing so many of these things, you know, like UFO crashes and sightings and yeah. abductions, and I'm thinking, you know, and almost every single one, and I hate to use the word cover up, you know, but it's like there has to be some other type of answer other than a weather balloon or a meteor.
Right.
You know, I could see some nights, you know, the atmosphere will play tricks on you as far as, like, you know, seeing the Saturn or something. It looks like a moose, you know, and it's just sitting there.
There were some people after the fact who said that's what you saw. You know, you were looking at this planet or, you know, these gases were emitted by this place, and that would look like, make the lights appear to this, you know, at that level and that atmosphere would have created this illusion for you. And so I'm not going to fight with you because I didn't do great in science. So I'm going to bet you have a lot more to say about it than I do. But I know what I saw.
That's like my friend from Sharon. I just take his word and my friend Bob's word. I take them for what they are, you know, because I don't see them making that up, you know. And I've always said, you know, if it is ours and it's not from the United States, we got a lot to worry about. You know,
right. Well,
you know, if it's outside, we have a lot to worry about, because it seems like it's always around military bases or,
right.
You know, the one out in, what was it, Portage County in 66, they made the First Encounters of the Third Kind movie about, you know, and it was almost a similar situation where they chased the thing into Pennsylvania. And it's always the police officers, or you don't want to really come out and really talk too much about it, or even anybody really, because you are labeled as okay. Maybe you get put too many hours in or something.
Oh, this guy, you know, this person, no, you see what everybody else can't see. How special are you? But no, it's you, if you're, I'm sure if you're out and you study these things and this phenomena is something that intrigues you, you start learning more about the similarities of the movements, the lights, the things that, you know, they were consistent. They were consistent from people who have a lot of credibility in my arena, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How does a dog in a fight to say, hey, I'm trying to get on a TV show in 30 years that they'll make about this? It was nobody's angle. We were just like, let's stay awake till morning and hope that it's a quiet night. But it was not. It was not a quiet night there. So
yeah, and I've had some of those nights. I was working security, and I was out at the Camp Garfield a few times, and I was always stuck out that air base. And I kept thinking, well, you got all these military here. What can't they do their own security? You know, and I would never see anything out there. You know, but I had all these sightings that were coming into me later that you weren't there that night. That, well, I didn't see anything. You know. You're one of the lucky ones that did see it, you know, because I had a lot of people contacting me after the fact that they did see it and they didn't call in.
I had the same experience. So many people come up, I remember that exact night. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can't answer my question as far as anybody tell you to put that in there. The government come in
the
idea or?
Oh, nobody said, hey, get them to tell, you know, to kibosh. I was telling, you'll listen to it. I said, hey, tell me it's a weather balloon. Tell me it's this. Tell me it's that. I don't care what you tell me, but, you know, we can't say there's nothing because everyone's looking at something. But no, I was never told to go obtain any kind of response. It was just call them and see what they're saying. Call them and see, you know, say, we're seeing this. Do you see it? And that was the only thing I had. And like I said, there was such a genuine honesty, and it was the same tone that we're using in our, just this genuine, I'm no reason to lie to you. Mm-hmm. This is the same tone. The guy was like, hey, no, I'm looking right now. There is nothing for within 500 miles. You know, there's nothing 50 miles from where you're at because there's nothing in this night sky at all. There's not one thing. And I was like, you're kidding, because everybody's seeing this. You know, why give me something to tell these people? And there's nothing. I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing there.
No, since that night, have you had anything quite like that?
As far as, like, I'm no longer a dispatcher or, no, I just left Brookfield, like, last year.
Oh, really? And, okay.
Yeah, right. I'm an investigator with the county now. So it's a whole different bag of responsibilities, but definitely right. Not at nighttime, and I'm definitely not riding in a cruiser looking at lights anymore, so that never come up for me again.
I see Toby's still working for Liberty.
Still the chief in Liberty for a minute. Yeah, he's still there, but we're all a lot older now. But in all honesty, it's been so intriguing how many people responded to it, and it's cool because there is a support for it. When we were mocked and really ridiculed for, like, why would you even say anything? You know, there was a good bit of support, though, that did come out from people who've had similar, you know, hey, I saw something too, or, you know, that we did see something back whenever, and people want to share it, and you don't want to sound like, hey, I'm loopy, even something leaves in, you know, but no, I saw something.
Yeah, you're kind of like put in a no-win situation, you know, because yeah. If you've seen it, you're goofy.
Right.
If you don't talk about it, you're covering it up.
Exactly. It's like, mm-hmm. I didn't get offered a job from, like, aliens or anything. I just saw what I saw. I heard what I heard. That's just what it was. But again, nobody cared a thing about it. It was as remarkable as hearing about it. It was such a big deal that night. Nobody made a sound about it for 20 years at least, you know?
So before we get off here, what would you think it was?
I have to say, at my age, I've never seen anything before that night like it. I've seen lights or seen things that I thought, well, you know, that's just kind of there or whatever. But I've never seen anything that moved, that stayed stationary like that without noise, and that moved the way it left. The way it left was something that I've never, ever, ever seen replicated, unless you watch TV and you've seen something with CGI on it. You know, I've never seen anything like that.
And that's what Bob was saying, you know, for as fast as it moved from point A to out of sight with no sound,
none,
was phenomenal.
And I'm not saying that, you know, hey, if our government's capable of it, I don't think they should tell everybody about it. Like, keep it a secret, do what you got to do, make it work. But I've never seen anything replicate like that. We are by an air base, so are the possibilities there? They're absolutely possible, but you think if I'm still living by, I still live within 10 miles of that air base, and I've never seen anything like it again. So
I do got to give you credit for coming on and sharing that. And you answered a few of my questions. I was been trying to get you on the show, and I'm thankful you came on and gave your side of the story and what you did see and the friends that you had on the department, you know, that witnessed quite a bit of stuff. I imagine they see quite a few odd things every night, you know, other than UFOs.
You see odd things, but you don't see that genre of odd things. You see a lot of odd things, but not that genre.
Exactly.
Cryptids or whatever. I participated in a show, and we went somewhere to film, and I spoke with some of the other people who appeared on the show. And one gentleman had an experience with Bigfoot. He came from Denver or something, Colorado. I don't know if it was somewhere in Colorado, maybe, or something like that. And it was... We were talking in it, and I felt like, wow, you know, that's a story that I can't, wow, you know. And I was sitting just as, like, open-jawed, and he asked what mine was, and I think he thought I was, like, I don't know if he just kind of brushed it off, like, yeah, right. Like, you know, well, mine was tape. What was yours, you know? Where was your tape at?
You know, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, you know, people use their spirit boxes or... Mm-hmm. And even if you play back what you just witnessed and heard, people still don't believe you, you know. So, you know, it is a wide field, like, you know, to Bigfoot to little fae people to everything, you know.
If you would have seen what I've seen, it opened your mind up, like, to the possibilities of it, you know. I can't think a universe as big as ours couldn't have something bigger going on And I joked that night, and it, because when I was joking with the reporter, she says, well, these women, they're watching this and they're beside themselves, so upset because, you know, these UFOs are just hanging above their house. And I said, why would UFOs come to Liberty? There's no intelligent life in Liberty. And I bought a house here to prove it, right? I watched it later on. I said, you're not going to put that in the show. And they're like, no, no, we won't. And boom, they played it. And I'm like, oh, my house is going to be on fire in about 10 minutes. But the experience is yours, just like people who see other cryptids have experiences like this, or you know, it's yours. And the intensity of it, you get to keep. It doesn't go well in relay, and I certainly never, when I do share it, it's never a one-up your story. I mean, everyone's experience is their own. I'm not a liar. I've never sought anyone to seek my, people have come to me for the story of Neverland. Hey, let me tell you about this.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate the time you've shared with me, and I appreciate you making it so easy to talk about this. And felt like anybody was thinking I was a kook or exploiting something that happened. And
this shows what it was all about. I have so many people, different people with different paranormal stories that are different fields, you know, and they can come on and express, you know, to me, to other people out there that experience the same situation.
Right.
I'm sure there's so many people out there that experienced like what you did. My wife and I went to Kecksburg last month to see the crash site where the UFO crashed in 65.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to the people in that town, you know, and it's like, you know, the same story that I keep hearing everywhere, in my opinion, too, is like the cover up from what they took out of that area. But then I have a friend of mine who also is affiliated with the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Right.
Who tells me that you don't need to know everything. You know, it's, you know, some things are not to be
shared.
Could you imagine, you know, the crisis this country went through when COVID, when we had a lack of toilet paper?
Yeah, now, right.
Could you imagine what happens if they say, you know, we have beings from another dimension coming to our galaxy or whatever? It would be chaos.
Overwhelming. It is overwhelming. And when the calls were coming in that night, there's a part of you that says, you realize, if this is true, we're not prepared to do anything about it. We're going to be right with you. We don't, there's nothing that Liberty's holding back. It's like their big, go get that secret how to deal with UFO book. You know, there's nothing coming like that. And I'll be honest with you, through the years after this has come up, there's been nothing additional. There was no one like, the thing you didn't know. There's been none of that. And you would think after 20 years, if there was something that was available in the way of information, somebody would have passed it along. But
you know, you were saying about, you know, you work at 911 at Liberty Police Department. I was just curious, you know, with the other police departments, like, you know, like say Howland or Gerard or all the local other departments, if what they were dispatching back to their dispatcher.
Well, we were all in the same room and we could hear them. That night you have the capability of listening to all the different frequencies. And that's what we
okay.
So, you know, while I'm listening to Helen, I also have the county dispatcher nearby, and she's expressing, hey, my guys are seeing X, Y, and Z here. They were, and that was what made it weird. You know, if that would have happened 15 years before when we were all in our PSAPs, our own little departments, nobody would have had that. But the fact that we were all in the same room and the phones were lighting up and people are like, Liberty, line 5, Liberty, line 8, Liberty, line, you know, 4, you know, and you're like, can't take all of them at once, so you guys are going to have to help out. So yes. Everybody was involved in it.
Yes, yeah. So you had a pretty wide area that you're working with, you know.
Yeah.
But that came down was, you know, he guest on Art Bell that night who actually stumbled upon the little township of Liberty that you live in, you know, because he was looking at Liberty, Ohio, down by Dayton.
Oh, yeah, that's how they found it, the wrong Liberty.
Right, it was wrong Liberty. He was looking for a UFO crash site.
Right.
And then he stumbled upon this, and he says, oh, wait a minute. You know, then you guys took off on the map on, you know, from your own little town, you know.
And it to me and to Toby, I speak for both of us when I say it's not sensational anymore for us because, you know, we've talked about it, never repeated it. So, I mean, it's kind of come and passed and it was a neat experience, but you will never believe it's the same renewed interest with every company that calls it just stumbles upon. It's like, you know, this happened 20 years ago. This is not like, we're not talking about last Tuesday. This is quite a while ago.
Right. And 2 more years will be 30 years. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. But yeah, we were so, at the time it was really wild that night, but after that night, I'll be honest with you, kind of became like, oh, that's a old hat, you know?
Is it kind of weird? To me, would be news to print if somebody's, all these people's calling in for a UFO sighting and the Vindicator's there or Channel 33.
Not a word, not a syllable.
That cover-up came into play when nothing was said and nobody could talk about it.
Right.
Thank you for coming on, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it as well, and I really appreciate you giving me time and not making me feel like I was going to say something that was going to embarrass myself. So you take care, and I appreciate the time you spent with me tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roy-Ann Rudolph. That was one of my favorite shows. I waited a long time to get her on the show, and I was so glad to meet her finally. I've had these tapes in my possession for, actually almost 25 years. And I've went over the tapes with a fine-tooth comb. I've talked to officers that were involved in the incident, and it always came back to Roy-Ann. I wanted to get her on the show, and it finally happened. I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Tune in next week, and 2 weeks after that, I'm going to run a 3-part series on the UFOs over the Berkshires. It was on the Netflix, on the Unsolved Mysteries series. I will have the people behind the scenes, the art director, the visual effects, the director, and the actors that were in the series. I condensed an 8-part series into 3 parts, so they're a little longer, so you'll have everybody involved in these 3 newly released episodes. Stay tuned. I'll have some great episodes coming up in September, some new ones, some new guests, some old guests. It's going to be a fun time. Until then, enjoy these replays. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghost in the Valley Podcast.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.